A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. Pleasure, as always, to have you waking up with us here on a Saturday morning. Tim Hughes. In the studios of KSL News Radio in downtown Salt Lake City, we're recording this program Thursday for playback live here on Saturday morning, and we're glad you're by the radio today. Temperature's going to be cooling for the weekend, but it does look like it's going to be nice to get out and do just about anything in the outdoors. Joining me for the first time in I don't know how many weeks now, Russell the Muscle is back with us from Sky Call, and glad you're feeling better.
And I am so glad to say I'm glad to be here, you know?
Well, you sound good.
It has been, well, thank you. I'm just coming out of it, but happy to be up and around. And just a bad bout with flu, and then, of course, my brain issues along with that.
Yeah.
But it's the older you get, the harder it is to struggle your way out of it sometimes.
Well,
and, but just happy to be here. Thankful for all the concern and prayers from people, and
yeah.
I certainly appreciate that.
You certainly had a lot of family and friends on your social media that were wishing you well. I saw that,
man.
And I was checking in with you from time to time. But you're right. At this stage of the ball game, and I'll bring Navidovskis into the conversation because he can attest to this too. Mike is back with us from the Kaysville area today. A little lunch break. When is school out for you, by the way?
Next week. We graduate our kids Wednesday night.
That's great stuff. Anyway, we're all in the same boat that every time an ailment comes up now, you have to ask yourself, is this a temporary thing? Is this just the way it's going to be from here on out?
Right.
With your situation, Russell, I'm glad it was just a bump in the road. Glad to hear it.
Well, it was. It was a big bump, but, we're doing well.
Yeah. Good.
To have you, Quagga Russell.
Yeah, it is good to have the band back together here for another week. Your week, Navi, I guess you've been just finishing up school, trying to get everything done, huh?
Yeah, it's always a race. They don't give us enough time. They schedule too many things to get in the way of learning. They don't ask teachers to make the schedule. They make the schedule, and we have to figure it out. But still teaching those kids, and they're doing good. And we had our last fishing trip last Saturday, so I'll definitely report about what happened on our final fishing trip with fish bites.
All right, so we'll look forward to that coming up in the next half hour. Also, I just finished up a broadcast this morning with Utah's Morning News. It was stop number 2 in our 100th anniversary tour for KSL as we continue to celebrate. We were up at Weber State broadcasting from inside the Student Union building this morning, which was kind of fun. But as a part of that broadcast, I checked in with Chris Penny, who, with the DWR, the Division of Wildlife Resources, he's a Northern Region Aquatics Manager, and we talked about the community fisheries in particular up there in the Weber County area. And so I'm going to share part of that interview with you coming up to start the next hour. We're going to talk a lot of fishing today, as a matter of fact, Navidovskis, which should make you and your buddies happy.
Yeah.
Because they always complain we don't do enough of that, right?
Well, always. I mean, in their mind, this is a fishing show.
Yep. It is. Whenever Navidovskis is on the line, it is. Speaking of fishing, I want to bring up something to you here, and I posted this. It's a fairly lengthy article, but it's a good one, written by Robert Williamson, who is a contributor to KSL.com, about why Utah's native cutthroat trout might not be as dumb as some anglers think. I didn't know they were considered to be dumb trout or dumb fish. Did you?
Yeah, well, I have a friend, hopefully he's listening, is the former manager of Angler's Den. He, Wade Jacklin, he calls cutthroat dumb. He flat out says that.
Why?
Yeah, cutthroat are dumb. And the reason why they're drawing that conclusion is because if there's 9 cutthroats in a little pool in a creek, you're going to catch every one of them. You're going to catch all 9. because that's just how they are. Yeah, okay. But it has a lot to do with their small window of feeding. So they go hibernate, and then they eat, and then they go to sleep. They're like bears. They're going to eat, eat, eat. So that's why they call them dumb.
Well, and I bring this up. I posted it because I thought you in particular would find it fascinating. But a professor emeritus of fisheries and conservation in Colorado at Colorado State University wrote a book. It's called Trout and Salmon of North America. And it talks specifically about cuts and the fact that about 14,500 years ago, the Bear River cut an outlet at Red Rock Pass in Ohio, causing an event known as the Bonneville Flood. A great deal of water left Lake Bonneville, dropping the lake level to 350, or dropped it down some 350 feet. It was estimated that over 7,000 years, the lake level continued to drop, and eventually Lake Bonneville vanished. And he just goes on to explain exactly what you were talking about, the population of these fish and their food source and how they, through their existence, have found ways to survive. And so they, when they see something that looks tasty to them or will give them some nutrient, they bite on it.
Absolutely. And that's not the only reason why anglers love them, because they're easy to catch. They're just flat beautiful. They're the prettiest fish in the world.
And you mentioned that it dovetails into one of the other things we wanted to talk about today, and that is another gillnet survey. You weren't here with us, Russell, last week, but we were talking about one of the gillnet surveys for the division. Anytime I think about gillnets, I flash back, Russ, to that morning when we went up to Strawberry and the fog was laying across the water in the fall.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. How could you forget that? Two dopes on motorcycles at, what, about 10 degrees?
Okay, I forgot that part of the story. When we crossed over the pass there, it was 10 degrees outside, and we were really cold. The guys that were working up at Strawberry thought we were nuts. But anyway, they're back in the gillnet survey mode at the division, and this week, Navi, they went to Lost Creek Reservoir, so I posted some pictures of some beautiful cutthroat trout. They said there was plenty of rainbows there between 12 and 14 inches, several large cuts, and those pictures are posted. They even stocked some Kokanee salmon in the reservoir in recent years, and both of their surveys show that the salmon population is establishing itself well, which is good news.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Look, putting cokes into all of our fisheries does not affect the fishing at all. Those fish feed in a completely different column and a completely different forage. But the biomatter that is left in residue after they pass is beneficial to the whole fishery. And that's why other fish benefit from the existence of kokanee. But when you're talking, you know, Lost Creek, to me, you're talking monster cuts, because those are big cuts. They're beautiful cuts. I got a pattern we call the stranger they just love, but it's a minnow pattern because those things evolved from, like you say, Lake Bonneville, where their only forage was other fish. And that's why they do so well without, you know, having to catch insects or eating insects. They'll eat other fish as their preference.
Yeah.
And that's why those cuts up there are nice size.
Well, and they were pleased, speaking of the forage in the shape of chubs, they were pleased with the number of chubs in the nets. They said the numbers are exactly what they need to provide enough forage for the trout to reach some larger sizes. But all of the trout caught at Lost Creek between 15 and 22 inches long have to immediately be released. And so you're right. It is a place to find some big fish. And if you want to see some great pictures of beautiful cuts, go to our Facebook page, which is just KSL Outdoors Radio. All right, let's talk about what else is coming up on the show today. We'll have news of the week just around the corner. Sarah Huey is going to be with us. Now, you think about Sarah Huey. I don't think I've talked to you, Navi, since she's made the move. She always checked in with us from Solitude Resort. She is at Park City.
Nice.
I lost track of her because she sent me an email telling me it was her last day. She's actually taken a job up at Park City Mountain Resort. And so she's promised to check in with us today. We're going to talk to her about the transition into summer, what the timeline looks like, and talk about the deals that are out there right now on Epic Passes. But, yeah, I was really happy to see that she landed back in Park City.
Me too. That's going to help us.
Yeah, we'll have Fish Bites for you coming up in the next half hour. Then Chris Penny, as I told you, road tripping with the boys. And I think I just got an email from Mark Wade. Let me see where they Well, it says no content. That's not going to help me much, but we'll find out where they want to go.
No.
And then we'll do a check-in with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge and find out exactly what's on tap and what's been happening at the lodge. I don't know if you've been following his social media, Russ, but he's just about finishing up cabin number 15. They put some rock on one of the new fireplaces up there. They were putting some sheetrock
right
up. Going to be another place to call home.
I have been following him, yeah. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so we'll do that. But it is News of the Week that's coming up next. We'll take a quick break and come back with more of the show in just a minute. Thanks so much again for listening in on this Saturday morning. More coming up on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio on this Saturday morning. It's Tim, Navi, and Russ all back with you. It's nice to have the band back together again. I did finally get a email with some content on it from Mark Wade, and it looks like we're going to be talking outlaws today, which is kind of fun when we go road tripping an hour from now, talking about outlaw trails between Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, and where you can see some of the remnants of outlaws out there. So Bob and Mark are gathering that information and will have it for us. And then, of course, they have all of the links to it with photos and sometimes great videos as well on their blog site, which is just roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com. I want to play a little bit of this audio, if I can, in the background while I tell you about this. And if you get a chance, and I know, Russ, you've got a computer in front of you, to see the video, it's fantastic. Yeah. The Division of Wildlife has done a really nice job with their social media lately, and they had a little bit of a scare because two Canadian geese took over a very high osprey nesting structure for their nest at the Utah Lake Wetland Preserve. They said the view's fantastic for the birds, but they were a little worried about these goslings that were to come because it's a 25-foot drop to the ground. And if they happen to fall out of the nest, which happens from time to time this year, they said they were worried about them. But luckily, all five survived the long drop. And they said a big thank you to the South Valley Electric Service District for helping them place some cameras to monitor the nesting success. So we've even got squatters. You know, we talk about the cost of affordable housing in Utah.
Yeah.
I guess it's true for birds, too. Because they just took over this osprey nest and found it to be the perfect spot. The video is fantastic. It's like 2.5 minutes long and shows mom coming and going, which is great. There was one more I wanted to post, which was a story from around Ephraim this week where the police department down there had reports of a bear that it was causing some problems. I guess it showed up near the Pioneer Cemetery there in Ephraim Tuesday, and then was headed toward U.S. 89, and people were calling because they were afraid that, you know, something would happen to the bear, get hit on the road or something. They had reports of this same bear, I guess, around an elementary school or going through a park. And so it's funny, the headline says, police set up a bear-icade to let bear safely cross U.S. 89. In Ephraim, they actually had to block the road for a period of time so that cars didn't
hurt. On Monday, and there was a bear at Morgan Elementary School. A lot of my pals, my golf pals, had pictures of it. They were taking pictures of it. It was a big bear. It came right up onto the playground and was sniffing the windows of the middle school.
Yeah. What was the middle school? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know the name of it. I just know what it looks like. I've got to think it's Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan County. That bear, and there was a note in this same story about that bear, it had to be tranquilized and relocated a safe distance from the city. So this is the time of year, though, when they say most of these encounters happen. They're coming out of hibernation. They'll go wherever they have to go to find food. And so they're reminding everybody, again, as we usually do, this time of year or any time of year that if you're going to go camping or you're going to be doing picnicking up in the canyons, make sure that you keep the tasty stuff put away and safely if there have been any bear sightings in the area, because they will be curious and they will be hungry.
Yeah, you don't want to cool your pies there on the windowsill. Yeah.
And it's usually the young ones, which Navidopsis always explains, hanging around teens the way he does, that sometimes they're not the smartest or the sharpest knives in the drawer, right?
That's correct. But they think they're tough, and so they'll wander around with their chest out.
Yeah. Also, wanted to get out there that Utah spring general season turkey permits are still on sale through the end of the month. And they don't want you to miss any of the fun. So pick up a permit this week and hunt the turkeys this weekend. And there's more information on the turkey permits, of course, at wildlife.utah.gov. Did you see the story of, and I need to pull it up here in front of me, the transfer of some bear's ears land to the federal government this week?
I didn't.
I missed it, too.
Yeah. Let me just get it up here in front of me. Anytime we talk about bear's ears, and we really try to avoid the political side of all of this, but there was a trading of 161,000 acres of bear's ears with the federal government, and the explanation is that it was to give up some land to the federal government in replace or in place of some land that could actually help raise funds for the Utah Public Schools, which, Navi, I would think you'd be in favor of.
Right. I mean, those land swaps are what pay for all of our education. And, yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, nobody's going to be able to buy bear's ears to pay for the high school.
Yeah. It included roughly 164,000 acres the state will acquire under the swap are targeted parcels with greater revenue potential, producing potential, they said. One of my great friends, who actually was a co-worker with me here at KSL, finished out his working career with the state of Utah and specifically worked in that department and helped to manage all of the lands that raise money for public education. And Navi, I'm not sure most people are actually aware that that goes on, but it is a huge sum of money.
Well, it's basically the only revenue we have. The state of Utah particularly has lived on it. It's paid for almost all of our schools. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
You got to pay for them somehow.
A good explanation of that, by the way, is on our page at KSL.com, KSLNewsRadio.com, if you actually want to log on and take a look at it yourself. Going to take another break. When we come back, I'm looking forward to checking in with Sarah Huey, now with Park City Mountain Resort. We will see what's going on up there, what their plans are. It's not going to be that long before many of the summer activities are up and running. We were in Park City over the weekend just for a quick look. And some of those areas are ready to play. So stay with us for that. We'll get you a news update next on the half hour here on KSL Outdoors Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.